Article 4 right now.
Okay, I move that we
have five people in the room.
Huh?
You want to fight? You want to fight Pilate? What do you want to fight?
Okay, we're up and running, folks. Okay, could somebody who's over by the door just help us round up people? Thank you very much. You tried well, you failed, and we're going to send people.
I was hanging around outside the door.
You failed!
Thank you. Thank you. We do want to get going, and again, I want to very much thank the technical people who help with the webcasting and the broadcasting, and we want to thank folks out at KPFK in Los Angeles who I believe are listening and hopefully finding this interesting. If you are listening either via webcasting or at KPFK, the materials that we're referring to, that is the new document that was put together that we're reading here and making comments on and bouncing off of, can be found on two websites, pacifica.org and WBAI.net. So if you're listening at home and want to don't have those documents handy, if you can get to a computer and look at them on your own computer, that'd be great. In the meantime, I would ask the board members to please take your seats. Folks, could the board please take your seats? David? Yes, Ted?
You raised a question this morning. I don't know if this mic is working. But you raised a question this morning about the amount of time that you and many of us have invested in this process and whether that makes you a volunteer or whether that makes you staff. And I don't know that the language that we left this morning clarifies that people involved in non-on-air activities are considered to be volunteers and not staff. And I am very concerned that that ambiguity be clarified.
Well, I think it does need clarification. I'm not sure the distinction is only on-air or not on-air. For instance, it may be somebody who volunteers quite regularly, who puts in a lot of time around the dealing with premiums, let's say. Getting premiums, sending premiums out, and is in that office, let's say, you know, in that radio station, you know, a half a day every other day or something like that.
Not working on,
you know, right, well, and they're not working on some committee, you know, then they have staff. So it's not only on air or not on air.
Okay, well,
you know, on air.
We discussed this at some length here in Houston, and what we came down with some language that has been submitted to you in that document. And I think that we broke it down as people who are on air and have a personality and their name appears on the airwaves of Pacifica related to programming would have an unfair advantage in terms of getting elected to the local board, whereas somebody who's off air and is working on premiums and the kinds of things you just described, it more fits into a committee role and therefore should be open to running for the local board without them being encumbered with the title being an on-air staff person.
Okay.
But, Ted, on-air personalities do not get elected by the listeners.
Mike.
They're elected.
Mike.
We're trying to decide what category they fit into.
We decided that already. The staff elects their representation.
The question is, what is the definition
okay,
of
staff
versus...
Okay, we need further definition. You're suggesting that we need to further clarify that and define it. So there is no confusion.
Can I ask a question about the
on-air.
I've heard different things about how you guys deal with on-air campaigning, I guess. How does that work at Berkeley?
We actually have a set of... We have a set of election regulations that specify that all candidates will have the same amount of airtime. There'll be special programming so that all candidates get on the air to say what they're running for and who they are, and that no other campaigning on the air is permitted. So if I'm Larry Binsky and I'm doing the Sunday Salon and I think Carol Spooner should be elected, I can't say so on the air. You can't campaign for me. And you see what I'm saying? So it's very, very clear. There's very clear. No on-air campaigning except in the
allotted time.
The allotted time, and everybody gets equal time.
Okay, folks, we're going to move into the election of delegates, which is some of these questions come under. So why don't we take them up in the appropriate order? Let me just say something. Two things. One is, we literally have to be out of here at 5 o'clock. That's not a lot of time at this point. And we agreed earlier we're going to reconvene at 7 at the Leisure Learning University. Ted right now is making a little map of where it is. He says it's a half a mile from here.
Right?
Well,
2 blocks,
a
half mile.
Yeah, right.
Long block.
It's 18 miles if you walk.
Ted has clocked it. He says it's 0.4 something miles. It's a half a mile from here because he has an alleyway you can go through or something. I don't know. There's a folks, hold on, okay? He's putting up a map there. If people have cars and want to drive over there, fine. The hotel also has a service that they will drive you anywhere within 3 miles of the hotel. So nobody has to walk, no matter how long it is, right? It's certainly less than 3 miles away. We really need to start at 7, though, because even with that, we're not going to get it all done. So, yeah.
And if I could just remind those of us who are speaking in this meeting, of course, using a microphone because we're on air, but also for the benefit of the listeners and for the people taking the record of this, that we identify ourselves by name. While we're not allowed under law, for good reason, to require public comment speakers to identify themselves, if they were to do so in some fashion, that would be helpful as well. But certainly the board members and others speaking, please identify yourselves. Again, this is Dave Ferdin, KPFK 90.7. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, David.
Shameful.
Okay, what we're going to do now is go to Article 4. Again, it really helps if people are not talking in the room. If people are not talking in the room,
leave the room if you want to talk. It's fine.
Thank you very much. Now, Article 4 is the election of delegates, and we all know that there are different approaches to this question. I really need to ask, Jabari, can you come in? And George, where'd George go?
I did promise to make a motion relative to the standing of board members.
I know. And George, yeah, okay, George on the phone. Okay, he's in the room but on the phone. We really need to just zero in on stuff and not bring up extra, issues that may be related to this but aren't on target, or other big, insights that we may have just had relevant to the whole structure of the bylaws or whatever. We really need to try and get focused on this and do it in as orderly and as quickly as way as possible. We also need to, and I'm not saying we haven't had this attitude, but I just want to reinforce it, that the bylaws are only going to, I believe, they're only going to come together because we're all willing to give a little, right? We're not all going to get exactly every word we want in these bylaws. So when it's clear that the momentum is one way and you're not going that way, I just want to ask people to be willing to give. Obviously not to compromise your own principles, but you may have to do that on some issues, but to really understand that the only way that's going to happen is if there is that give and take from everybody. Okay, so Article 4 starts on page 5, election of delegates. That is, again, just so everyone's clear, delegates are the defined by, right. Oh, it's right there.
Delegates shall be any eligible natural persons elected by the members or class of members and serving as such. Delegates shall serve as the members' representatives in electing foundation directors and in serving on the local station boards. Delegates may only act personally at a meeting or by written ballot and may not act by proxy.
Act personally, but not act naturally. That's right.
Okay, does everybody understand what a delegate is? Is there any problem with it?
No.
Let's move on.
Thank you.
Nomination. Section 2 is the nominations of delegates and the eligibility. A is the nomination procedures. And the recommendation that Rob put forth.
Yeah, I looked at all of the different versions, and we have many, many different versions and many iterations of the different versions. I think at this point we should try to collaborate on something that follows the KPFA model generally. That seems to be the point that has the most areas of coincidence from the different versions. We could even take a leap and just adopt that section in toto.
Can you explain it or summarize it or read it verbatim would be best?
I wouldn't characterize the KPFA.
Okay, here we go. Carol Swooner is taking out more paper. See, this is what happens when you become a lawyer. Are you sure you want to be a lawyer?
I have no sense of humor left.
Wasn't that good to begin with, Carol?
And it wasn't that good to begin with. All right, I'll take that.
Just kidding.
Let's go, folks.
Okay, folks. The KPFA model reads nomination of delegates, subsection A, nominations procedures. I'm going to read it as written, although the dates as far as which month what happens was going to have to change because we're off schedule. All right. Nominations for the office of local station delegate shall open on September 1st of each year and close on November 1st. Nomination papers shall be delivered to an independent and neutral elections coordinator who shall not hold any elective foundation office and who shall not be an employee of the foundation, who shall be chosen by each local station board by majority vote to oversee and certify the fairness of the elections and conformity with these bylaws. Nomination papers.
We're on the grid somewhere.
Yeah,
page nine.
If people want the grid. The grid.
It's Article 4.
It's page 9 on the grid, on the small grid. Remember the old small grid. If everyone has that, it's page 9.
All right.
It's actually the big grid.
It's Article 4, James, of the big grid as well as the little grid.
Anyway, on the little grid, it's page 9. By little, I mean 8.5 by 11.
Not
I don't mean the number of pages. Right.
Page?
I don't know what page on the grid. I'm
page
reading.
Nine.
Nomination papers shall consist of the required number of signatures on a form to be provided by the election coordinator, a statement of whether the candidate is running for election as a listener sponsor member or as a staff member, and a statement up to 500 words in length by the candidate, which shall be mailed to the voting members. The names of up to 10 nominators may be listed at the end of a candidate's statement. The candidate shall also indicate his or her gender and racial or ethnic heritage, i.e. European, African, Latin American, Native American, Asian, Pacific Islander, Arab, or declines to state.
Okay, so do we need to look at the part B and C? All together, or
and for some reason this is there seems to be something missing here because the nomination procedure. Oh, then we go on to eligibility, which says how many signatures you need.
We've got that,
and that's included in the new draft here.
Yeah, we have. There tends to be consensus
on page
on eligibility.
5. Okay,
right. So okay. That's the procedure: is that there's a 2-month open period for nominations, that there should be an independent elections coordinator who's not an employee or an elected official who oversees and certifies that the election is carried out according to the rules and the bylaws and fairly, that the person who wants to run submits nomination papers and a statement and may list up to 10 of their nominators if they choose, so that people will know who's recommending that person, and that the person identify him or herself by gender and or race, national heritage, or declined estate.
Okay. Is everyone clear about this proposal?
So we're just doing A.
We're just doing A on the nominations procedure. Yeah, David.
I'd just be curious if there's any feedback relative to how this worked out, if there's any fine-tuning or comments on that. Carol?
Well, at KPFA, we've done more or less this for through two election cycles. Our nominations period has been about 2 months. We've had an independent elections coordinator who's been, is here, David Green, who has been heroic in making sure that our elections are coordinated properly, ethically, responsibly, and according to the rules. And he makes certain that the elections committee never gets involved in electioneering and doing unethical stuff. And he's just been great. And then oversees the counting of the ballots and certifies the vote and reports it to the local board. And it's worked fine.
Any objections?
Our statement has been slightly shorter. I think it's been 100 words.
Good.
And
a
then
Pacifica person? Only 100 words?
200 words, according to David. 200 words. And then we've also had a questionnaire that people answered, and their answers were online but not available through the mail. Because so many people are not hooked up online, I'm concerned about they're not getting enough information about candidates. And that the 500-word statement, although perhaps a little bulky to mail, I think is a good idea to have an informed voting 500 words.
Okay.
So that's where we're. It's worked well.
Okay, Janice had a question.
How was Dave selected?
Our lab selected him, and that's what's provided here. The local board shall select this person. So the local board at BAI would select your elections coordinator.
Is he paid? Is it a paid
position? No, he's volunteered. He has volunteered. What?
The election coordinator of KPFA is inquiring whether payment is expressly excluded.
No, it is not. It's not expressly excluded. The person can't be an employee, but could be a consultant who came in and for a fee oversaw our election.
Okay, let's...
let's not get into that.
Let's have a more discussion about this. And,
yes.
I see no objections to this. It seems a cogent...
Okay, is there any... Donna, did you want to speak to this particular
question
about the nomination process?
The
okay, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Let's get James first.
I just wondered, why was there a consideration about how many words was in the statement?
Because they would be mailed, and if it's more than 500 words, it could be very expensive and bulky to mail.
What is a 500-word?
500 words fits on a page.
Oh, so it's a
page.
Yeah. Single space.
Single space, it's one side of a page, I think.
Barely.
No. Anyway, whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
Double space, 250, one page.
It's enough to say something. I wrote a 200-word statement that was mailed out, and I find it very frustrated to try to communicate anything meaningful about me other than I supported the mission and like rose gardening.
Okay.
It worked.
Right.
Go figure.
What I wanted to do was to read this hybrid proposal and take questions on it if there are any. I didn't
who are
want
you?
Specifically.
Yeah, I'm
Donna Gould.
Can you identify yourself?
From the WBAI Bylaws Committee. And I passed out a hybrid election proposal based on the WBAI Unity Caucus and the KPFA election proposals. And I wanted to just go over it a little so that while people are thinking about the nomination and election process, they can think about, is there room for this proposal in what they're considering doing, if that's agreed.
Could you just summarize how what you're proposing on the nominations is different than what is KPFA's.
Just
yeah,
well, one way it's different is that it requires 50 signatures rather than 10. I don't really see that it would be actually in a where is Bob? Because it's directly taken from the Unity Caucus proposal, so I would rather that there you are. Is what they're discussing significantly different, or how is it different from this from the Unity Caucus nomination process other than the 50 signatures? It's not.
Okay.
Do you want me to
stop there?
George?
I've got a question regarding how many days are in the nominating period? 30?
60.
I'm sorry. Can you say it louder?
I'm sorry. How many days are in the nominating period?
It's a two-month period from September 1st to November 1st. But in this year, it's going to have to be some other 2 months. And
2 years?
60 days. And it's, I would recommend to this body that is in the first implementation of the bylaws with our first election that we shorten it to 45 days for one time only. That's a recommendation.
What exactly does nominating period mean? It's the
that
time
means
that
you hold your community meetings, you go out and talk to community groups and ask people to run. You have a period of time in which people you can seek out and recruit people to run and where they can go and get their 10 or 50 signatures.
And then at the end of this time, nobody else can
then the nominations are closed
for that election.
Can be nominated after.
It's the period during which you get the names that go on the ballot.
Right.
Okay.
Where do you get the names that go on the ballot? You have to begin and end someplace.
Okay. So the it seems to me everybody... I haven't heard any objection to this this orientation. There's some question about how long the period should be, and there's a question about the number of signatures required. But the general orientation seems to be acceptable, right? Let's talk about the numbers for a second, if we can.
That's actually the next section in the bylaws.
Which is
eligibility.
But maybe
the
number of names to nominate you.
Oh, all right.
Subsection 10, B.
There's a proposal for 10, and there's a proposal for 50.
Right.
We have
some information from our curing.
Okay, we have somebody speaking off mic here.
Yeah, our elections coordinator.
Yeah, this is David Green. I just noticed at the end of the text saying that the candidates should also indicate racial or ethnic heritage. If you include decline to state and you do want to include diversity criteria in the implementation of the elections,
declines to state is not a person of color under our model.
Okay. As long as that's defined.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. Well, the question that we're looking at is 10 or 50. That's the only thing
yeah,
I want to hear comments on.
10.
Okay. 10?
Of course. Come on.
Okay. What about 25?
Why?
I don't know. Carol?
I think 10 is sufficient, that if 10 people are willing to nominate you, then you certainly ought to have a shot at asking people to vote for you. And I think that if you make it too much more than that, then you're going to have your candidates perhaps, even before they've been nominated, have to go all around the Signal area, perhaps to meetings that... that haven't been set up.
Okay.
Yeah, Dave Furt from KPFK. I think we should have the lowest number practical. I think 10 is fine. We need the maximum pool of candidates.
10, right?
How do you identify that members are in good standing?
The elections coordinator actually matches the signatures against the members list.
I see.
Okay.
So
again,
usually people get more than 10, to get 20 just to have an excess.
Okay. On the number, I'm just going to take this one comment.
Okay, I just want to say, and part of the function of the nomination period, I want to emphasize are these meetings, because part of the function of the meetings is to give a place where listeners can gather those signatures. Otherwise, a lot of listeners don't necessarily know other listeners to go who are current subscribers to go get signatures. And we talked about this, and 10 is where we went. We just thought 50 or a higher thing, that's an enormous burden to put on the average person. And it'd be nice if the average person who's a listener and cares about the station could conceive of themselves as trying to do this, not somebody with a huge organization behind them that's going to help them get 50
right.
signatures.
I have a
okay.
question.
Okay.
I have a question, a follow-up question. Hello?
Kurt.
Oh. Kurt. And the thinking behind those 10 signatures would not be that you know that those people are good enough to run. It would be like, well, you know, it's like I have to run. Let's make it as democratic as possible. So would you please put your name there?
Right.
You don't have to know the person? Or would the meeting
no,
be there to
don't.
Show that you're worth
it's,
supporting?
It's up to the individual signing the signature, what their value is. I'm not going to give you my signature unless I know you, or I support as many people as possible running, so I'm going to enable you to run. It's up to the individual making the decision.
Is there also any limitation on the number of nominating papers an individual can sign? In other
we
words,
haven't had that at KPFA.
Okay.
No.
So I could sign 100 different people's nominating papers.
That's right. If I can add, it also serves in a way as vetting the candidates, because there have been attempts to include strict criteria for candidates who say that they support the mission or various things. This is what the nomination procedure is supposed to do. You have 10 qualified members of the foundation that endorse you, saying that they see you as someone who would uphold the mission.
Thank you.
The meetings are really important.
Madam Chairperson, may I strongly suggest we rock and roll and get moving. We're just wasting. I mean, come on, we've beaten this to death.
Y'all trying to.
We're not. This is the first time we're discussing this as a board.
Okay.
We're getting information for people who've done it.
I move 10.
Can we maybe take a straw poll?
Yes.
How many would support 10?
That's exactly
yes or no, 10?
No, how many would support 10? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, how many would support 50? 1. I know. How many would support 25? 1, 2, 3. Is there another number?
Chair, in a situation like this, we have multiple options. I think it's advisable to utilize a voting mechanism whereby, for example, if you were to say 10, 20, or 50, or 10, 25, or 50, you give everyone two votes, and you see who gets the most votes. It's a choice voting system. We should employ it.
Okay. We're going to put three choices out here, 10, 25, and 50. Everybody gets two votes.
Okay.
Make it 20.
10,
20, 50.
Can we go
okay.
below 10?
Okay, I would hear what you reason why
you're right. Let me just, quick show. How many people would like it to be below 10? Below 10. 1, 2, 3. If we put four choices on, how many votes would
we get? Two will do it. I think we'll get a good.
Just 10, 5, 10, 15, 20. 25, 50.
No, folks, let's get real here. 5, 10, 20, 50. 50 was the proposal we heard, right? And you get two votes. And then we'll see what happens.
5, 10, 20, and 50.
5, 10, 20, and 50. Who wants 5?
This is so arbitrary.
1, 2. Who wants 10? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6.
You said 5?
No, I passed 5 already. You want 5?
Yeah. Pay attention, bro.
I'm sorry. Let's do this again.
You see, you're talking too fast.
We're moving along too fast.
Half
here.
The crowd says I go too fast, and half says I go too slow. If everyone's quiet, it helps. 5. If you want 5. 1, 2, 3. If you are okay, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4. You had two votes.
No,
I'm sorry, folks. I'm going to do this once more. Put your hands down. I'm going to do this once more. And I'm not gonna count your vote if it doesn't go up at the right time.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? That's the only way we can do this. There's four options, 5, 10, 20, and 50. You get to vote twice. Okay? We're just running through it once now. All those who are fine with 5, 1, 2, 3, put your hands down. All those who are fine with 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All those who are fine with 20, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And all those who are fine with 50. 1, 2, 3. So the 10 and the 20 are both 5.
So I can vote 3 times?
No.
Twice.
No.
I saw somebody vote 3 times down there.
No.
I did.
So
now we have to have a runoff vote between the 10 and 20?
A runoff vote between the 10 and the 20. All those who want 10.
Can I vote twice?
No, you vote once. 10, 20. 1, 2, for 10. 1, 2, 3, 4. And all those who want 20. 1, 2, 3, 4. And abstentions. Abstentions.
Good time.
All right. This is going to be referred. 15. Are we okay with 15?
Yes.
All those who want 15, raise your hand.
Okay, compromise 15. Vote, 15. I'll go for 15.
Let's compromise, kids. Come on, let's move on.
That's three
on.
Times.
Oh, wait. We can't lobby.
This is unbelievable.
You can lobby.
15. Are you okay with 15?
15.
15, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, folks, here's where we're at. Either we settle this and move on, or what's going to end up happening, and may end up happening anyway, is that basically we're going to only get as far as we can, and then we're going to turn it all over to a lawyer to come up with a draft and give it back to us. Because we cannot drag this thing on for months and months. So if we're okay with 15, we're going to move on.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Let's do it.
15. The second part of this. Is that any listener sponsor member in good standing may be nominated for the position of delegate by the signatures of, well, now we're at 15.
15
listener sponsor members in good standing, provided that no person who held any elective or appointed political office at any level of government, federal, state, or local, or is a candidate for such office, who has held such elective or appointed office within the preceding 3 years, shall be eligible for election to the position of delegate. A delegate, this we voted on last time.
Yeah, and we took out the preceding 3 years language.
We took out the preceding.
Yeah, we just said is or is running. We did that.
Okay, so can we move on?
Yeah.
No. What is it now?
So now it's on, if you are presently in elected office, or appointed public office at any level of government.
Or are running.
Or if you're running for such an office, then you're not eligible to vote. If you were to run or be elected. If you were in such an office in the past 3 years, you are eligible.
Right.
But if you're in the office now, or if you're running to be in an office now, then you would not be eligible. Okay?
Okay.
I'm Jane Jackson from the Bylaws Committee of KPFA. I think I hear an inconsistency. The 3 years has been eliminated prior. California, as we all know, managed to be a little bit progressive, and some of us are in a position to accept an appointment. Were we to run for, would we therefore be denied? An example that was so well used was that my police chief can serve, but my Citizens Review Commission chair could not. There's something strange about that. And so I'm asking, if you've been there, it's okay, but if you might get, you're excluding yourself for 3 years from any appointment?
No, we're not. We're saying that if you are currently holding an elective or appointed political office or are currently running for election for such an office, you are ineligible to run to be a delegate or to serve as a delegate.
Now, once elected, are you then prohibited for the entire term of your office from accepting any form of appointment? Thank
you. Well, if I could clarify.
That's what the language says. We could change it. We already voted on this twice. I don't really want to vote on it again.
I don't either. I think we need to move on. We really discussed this quite thoroughly at the last meeting. Or two meetings. Oh, in Houston.
I just want to say, you would be prohibited from holding both offices. It wouldn't mean you couldn't apply. You just have to resign from Pacifica office in order to fulfill your appointment.
Right. Okay, I want to move on, actually. Of what?
Use a microphone, Bob. You know better. Come on.
Bob Lederer from WBAI. Carol, you can verify in your most recent draft of the KPFA version of this paragraph, it includes the phrase, something about, I don't have it with me, excluding management, members of management of any Pacifica staff. They're not eligible to run to be a delegate for the listener seat.
Yes, that language is supposed to be in there.
Okay, so that needs to say it, excluding management from running for a seat.
In other words, the KPFA station manager cannot run to be elected by the listener sponsors as a delegate.
You said management or station manager?
Station management. That includes the station manager, the exempt employees.
Okay, can we move on? What is it, manager?
Microphone.
Folks, just to be clear, the reason why we go to the mics is to record what you're saying and so the people listening on the radio and the webcast can hear what you're saying.
I'm Manija Saba from WBAI listening area. I wanted to suggest on the section on the categories, racial, ethnic, or heritage category, replace Arab with Middle Eastern, so includes all the Middle Eastern, because the reason for this is that you have European, African, Latin American, Native...
Fine. Good idea.
Thank
okay,
you.
Great.
So,
question.
Thank you very much.
Is there any objection of this Middle Eastern? Yes.
Question. So the manager, he...
George, louder.
I'm sorry. So the manager votes as in the...
Please. Okay, George, yes.
The manager votes as the...
Listener.
But yet I understand organization-wise why it's a bad idea to have him as a on the board, but so he can vote, but he can't be a candidate.
That's right.
Well, we had sort of, I thought there was agreement on this earlier, that management, not just the station manager, anybody in a management level position would not be eligible to be elected to either the local station board and obviously therefore not the national board. Okay, I think there's agreement on that.
Yes.
Can we move on? I just want to go down to section 3. I think we already agree on the part 2 there. Section 3 is the size and composition.
Wait a minute, we got staff members.
We already discussed that. We already agreed with that last time.
All right.
Are we considering raising the number for staff the same way we just raised it for the...
Does anybody want to raise the threshold for nomination for staff, for the staff seats? It's currently five. Does anybody want to raise that threshold?
It says a quarter.
No, I'm sorry. This is my fault. I was confusing. I rushed ahead too quickly. We just did item 1 under section 2. Item 2 under section 2 relates to the nominating procedure for people running for the staff designated seats. So in the nominating process there, the recommendation here, and what we had already discussed previously and agreed on, was that you would need 5 staff members in good standing to sign your nomination paper in order to run. Is there any opposition to 5? No.
All right. We're moving.
Right. Okay. Now we're on to the next time.
Excuse me.
Next section is section 3.
Karabia Rayford, Washington, D.C., on the one thing that the sister just said about changing it from Arab to Middle Eastern, I think that's a problem because if you change it to Middle Eastern, it would include Israeli, and there's a clear issue there. So
there's clear issues all over the Middle East, though. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that there's trying to be a distraction between Arab, Israeli, etc., and that's why that's part of the problem.
Right. Again, the recommendation was to include all the region, right? The Middle Eastern region.
That was the reason. And if you say that Arab, then you exclude Kurds and Persian and all the other people.
Right.
So what Israelis is there? Israelis are there. You can't deny that exists, therefore.
Yeah.
Okay.
People can self-identify.
Okay. So we're on to section 3, the size and composition of local station boards. Local station board shall include between 18 and 25 members. Staff members shall comprise one quarter of the membership. And the suggestion was that the local station board should have the authority to amend the maximum size of the membership by affirmative vote upon notification of foundation. Boy, I'm a little confused about the wording here.
Upon notification of the national board.
In other words, a number of people were concerned that they would want to increase the size of their boards, so the suggestion is that if the local station board determines that they need to raise the size, then they could notify the board that they're doing so.
Would it, and it would just
that's
be a notification, or would they need approval?
That they would simply notify them, okay. And the board would take note of it, and they would do it.
Okay, Carol.
I don't like that. The reason why I don't is a local station board is serving as a governing body. The law provides, in the cases of boards of directors, that you can't just expand the number without the approval of the membership. You can set a range, a minimum and a maximum, and you can move around within that range, but you can't go above it without the approval of the membership. The reason for that, here's the reason for it, folks. A majority of the board can then expand the size of the board and create a supermajority. That's the reason for it. So what you need to do is say, yeah, you can change the number, but you need to go to the membership to get the members' approval for changing it.
Okay.
Chair, if I could point out, looking at this, we have a range of 18 to 24, and where it says that staff members shall comprise one quarter of the membership. And if there happens to be 20 members that month, then staff can be 5. But if there happens to be 24 members, the staff component can be 6. It probably should say that the staff shall be up to 6, or shall be 6. If the staff don't elect, you know, as many as 6, that's their problem. If the rest of the board only elects 20 people, or by attrition, by the rule of, you know, 3 and out, or whatever reason, the lab goes from 24 down to 20 members, do the staff suddenly have to eliminate one of their members?
No. The board would have to say, we're a 20-minute member board, or we're a 24-member board. They would have to pass a resolution saying how many members they are.
Oh, so each board would have to say they are a specific number. They would not each be within
their
range.
You couldn't change it month to month. It would be this election cycle, we have agreed, we're a 24-member board.
And if there's attrition, and that's another problem.
And if somebody falls off,
right,
that's
okay.
Too bad.
Thank you.
Okay, so are we okay with
you
this?
You fill the vacancy according to the rules specified in the bylaws.
Yeah,
I would propose that 18...
Whoa, folks, shush.
Debbie Campbell from Houston, I would propose that 18 is not divisible by 4, so the minimum number should be 20.
And if I could, for clarity then, it should say that the local station board shall select a size between this range.
Whatever.
So it indicates... If it's ambiguous, it's ambiguous. I'm just saying it's eliminate the ambiguity.
But David's language, it said it's leaving it to the local board to decide its range, and then it has to select a size instead of it shall include, which is vague. Can we speak to this question of 20 or 16? The divisible by 4 is the recommendation, so as to facilitate the membership by the staff.
Or just state a number here instead of having a range.
No, we want the range.
16.
I think there's support for the range.
16
to 24? 16. Is that all right, folks? 16 to 24?
Sure.
16
to 24. Okay, is there any other issues on the size question?
Yeah.
On the size? Yeah.
Well, is there any reason we can't have a range on the 25% of staff members? Obviously, that's going to be a huge issue in L.A. since both the Unity proposal and so far most of the people polled on the lab think that that's way too much. 10% is what people are looking at in LA, if anything. Anything more than 10% in any configuration, company, corporation, or entity is considered the potential for disproportionate takeover at some juncture. And we think that it's also, I mean, it's just out of proportion.
Yes.
So if there are some stations that are married to that, can we at least have consider a range, although I would prefer 10%, but LA probably will have a real problem with that.
I thought we had, my recollection is that we had a fairly thorough discussion about this issue.
Yes.
About, should there be any, should it be a third, should it be this? You know, I would rather not revisit this issue.
No, but you're considering a range of the size of the lab, and you are raising staff. I'm asking a question.
Okay,
is it feasible to have a range between 10?
Let's answer the question. Do people want to consider having a range on the membership, the staff membership on the local board? If you want to consider that,
no.
Raise your hand.
No.
If you want to consider that, raise your hand. One. If you don't want to consider that, raise your hand. Okay. We're not. There's not enough support for considering that.
Sure.
Donna.
Excuse me.
I'm
suggesting
not enough support for opening that question.
Right. I understand Carol's concern about variations in the size of the board, but so I am asking you to reconsider the maximum, the 24 maximum, because in terms of the kind of constituency representation that is in my proposal would not be possible with the 24 maximum. I mean, I'm going to hopefully go into that proposal more when you get to the election part, but that is a limitation that would really preclude the kind of constituency representation that's in this proposal.
Well, fearless leader.
Okay, I want to leave it for now. If later on this, there's agreement on something that calls us to reconsider that, then we can reconsider it.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Fearless leader, Dave Fertig here, KPFK. 90.7 in California. Thank you. I just am uncomfortable with the notion of saying, well, there's going to be a range between 18 and 24 members. It's going to be decided at some point by some entity that so far hasn't been elected. And it just seems simpler if we would just say, here's a number, 20 or 24, whatever it is. Here's a number. That's what the size is. I'm still unclear how it gets decided, by what process, by whom, and so forth. Earth-shaking thing.
Carol.
For clarity.
This is not unusual to have a range, to say that in your bylaws the number of directors shall be no less than 10 and no more than 20.
These aren't the directors, though.
This is an equivalent body. The number of our station board members shall be no less than 18 nor more than 24. The local 16. The local board then passes a resolution. The local board says, we're a 16-member board. They find out after a year operating as a 16-member board that they need more. They can change that up to 24, which is the maximum, by adopting a resolution.
Fine, thank you.
Okay, I want to move on.
Well,
I want to move on then to Section 4, Delegates' Terms of Office and Election Cycle. A, Delegates' Terms of Office on the Local Station Board shall be 3 years. Okay. B, the delegates' terms of office shall be staggered. Local station board's elections need not be conducted annually. Okay. Carol?
I think that's too ambiguous. Okay. We either have to say that a third will be elected each year or that half will be elected 2 years in a row with the third year off. Those are the only two options for staggering the elections, one or the other.
What
so let's choose.
Option again?
One-third elected every year, or half elected 2 years in a row with a third year off. Those are the only two possible ways to stagger elections with a three-year term.
Well, maybe we need to change the number of years in the term.
Why would we do that?
to have the elections as frequently.
It's simple. It's simple. You'd either elect a third at a time or half at a time. What's complicated about
it? Okay, David.
All right, David Green, KPFA. I would encourage the board to consider the two elections held every 3 years, electing half the board. That maximizes the representation, assuming that we are using the choice voting system.
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
That's not what I said.
Wait, folks. Let David say what he wants.
Carol was suggesting considering.
No, David, say what you think we should.
I would encourage the board to consider the two elections held every 3 years, so that you have 1 year off. So that you're